Living the good life. Welcome, everyone. This is Beacon of Hope Ministry, bringing you our weekly Sunday show, Living the Good Life. We're glad you're joining us today. It has been a very special day at Beacon of Hope, and we rushed to get here just now from an amazing day. And I have Pastor Jim, my wonderful associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury. And we have Nan in the studio with me today, live, as always. Pastor Jim, and by the way, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister. So I forget to introduce myself. I don't know why, but I do. So anyway, Pastor Jim, have we had church today and a great time or what?
We have had church today.
Woo! It was powerful. Powerful, wonderful, powerful. And Nan's getting her headphones hooked up and everything, so... We'll hear from her in just a moment. We even after church had an amazing lunch, and then, I mean, a delicious lunch, carry-in as always, and then a wonderful White Elephant gift exchange, which was a little wild there, wasn't it, Pastor Jim?
You know, it started off. And for those of you who don't know what a White Elephant gift exchange is,
you would love to explain it, wouldn't you?
Which actually is half the congregation.
Which is half the congregation. They don't seem to ever remember, right?
No, it's where you give something away that you really have no earthly use for. And yet we always end up people giving nice gifts. I ended up with a nice gift.
Yeah, you did. I didn't, but you did.
Yeah, well.
No, I was okay with mine, actually.
Yeah. It's supposed to be something you'd rather give away.
Sure.
And at the first, you can steal. Like, if you don't like what you get, you can steal from somebody else, and they have to pick.
There was a lot of stealing.
But not at first. It kind of started out like everybody was...
liking their what they got.
Yeah, either liking what they got, or maybe they were afraid to offend. I don't know. You know, they just didn't want to steal from somebody.
But it a bit changed.
I started the stealing.
You did, Nan.
Yes, Nan decided to shake up the pot.
Yes,
and the stealing continued, and we just rushed in here because it's been a very long morning that started at a little before 9 a.m., so it's been a straight-through day. But you know what? We got some great music for this show. I mean great music, and we've got some wonderful talk and teaching. And we are going to really have a good Christmas show here live, as I just said. Nan, you've been doing the show, and so has Pastor Jim for 7 or 8 years, I believe, right? Is that about right?
Yes.
Mrs. Santa Claus, she's got a Santa Claus hat on. So I just call you Mrs. Claus.
Mrs. Claus.
Yes. And it's a joy, isn't it? I don't care how many Christmases we are here. Well, actually, this is our 12th. But the fact that every year it's fun, and every year, Pastor Jim, like what happened this morning in my sermon, it comes out different than what you think it's going to. And today was just an amazing day in our service at Beacon of Hope, in my opinion.
Yes, it was. I mean...
I don't say that because I was preaching. I'm just saying that because I just felt the Holy Spirit so strong in the whole show.
The whole service. And... whoever thought you really get blessed in the Spirit and move in the anointing by singing Christmas carols.
But they were powerful today. And those new versions, Chris Tomlin and some of the other guys that you were using,
We used Hillsong and Chris Tomlin.
Oh, powerful.
There's one that's, I don't know who does, but it's contemporary.
Yes.
And, you know, that
Then
just,
we did Give Me Jesus
Give Me
by
Jesus
Danny Gokey.
By Danny Gokey.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, that's all you can say. I mean, the Spirit really moved. And I know I told you before, this Christmas, some things have happened, and it's like...
A lot of people have gone through hard times.
Yeah. And it's stripped away everything, for me at least. And that's why I got so blessed singing the Christmas carol.
Right.
Because that's what it's about. I mean...
Right. So, that's exactly right.
What can I say?
Well, hey, I am blessed, and I got to give a praise report. Guess why? And you guys know.
Yeah, we know.
All right. Okay.
But share with the audience. They don't know.
I was going to say some of the audience may not know. What? Right?
Right.
Okay. So
go for it.
Last Monday at around noon, my dear daughter-in-law, Mary, the wife of my dear son, Ryan, gave birth to their sixth child. And it is another boy, and we have eight boys and four girls, so 12 grandchildren. Number 12 was born last Tuesday, a little afternoon, and his name is Dawson J. McAllister, J after great-grandpa, and Dawson because they like Dawson. So, and he is amazing. I Skyped with him yesterday afternoon. And he was, and the other kids, and it was fun. And he was looking at me. He had his eyes open the whole time, Nan. He's looked at me the whole time. And I was just talking to him. I call him Awesome Dawson, you know.
Well, let me ask you, did he have a head of hair?
He does.
He may have been thinking you had the same style that he had.
It could be, yeah. His is a little lighter. His is light brown.
Lighter,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know what? It was great. So we give God all the glory and praise and answered prayer for this miracle baby, because it is a miracle baby without me going into the details, it is. And a healthy, very strong 9-pound baby boy on last Tuesday. So very excited about that. To add number 12 to our grandchild total is pretty exciting. So I'm excited about this show today. We give God all the glory and praise. Lord, we come before you. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts because you are Lord. You are King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so long ago, Jesus, you came to this earth and was willing to be born as a babe and lay in a manger, a very humble, humble beginning, even though you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And so, Lord, we celebrate your birth today. We're excited about the music we have. We're excited about what we're going to talk about to celebrate your birth. And so it is with praise, it is with thanksgiving, and it is with expectation that we begin this show today, all in your precious name and for your glory. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's get right to it, to some great music. We had that. So what you were talking about a minute ago is some really great music today, too. So this is a cool one by Faith Hill. Here we go. A baby changes everything. Sure does. Goes right along, doesn't it, with what I just said about our new baby, McAllister.
Teenage girl, much too young, unprepared for what's to come. A baby changes everything. Not a ring on her head, all her dreams and all her plans. A baby changes everything. A baby changes everything. The man she loves, she's never touched. How will she keep his trust? A baby changes everything. A baby changes everything. And she cries. Ooh, she cries. Ooh.
Sure does. Baby changes everything. Jesus coming to this earth as our Savior, born as a babe, changed the whole world. It changed us. That's why we're on the air today. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for the birth of Jesus and the salvation that he has brought us. We're going to Luke 1. Let's talk about Mary for a couple minutes, because when the angel appeared to Mary in about verse 26 of Luke chapter 1, the angel told her about Elizabeth, her cousin's pregnancy. That is so cool. Elizabeth was older, and she and Zechariah, you can find that in the beginning part of Luke chapter 1. That story, you can read it later, had not been able to have a child. But the child that Elizabeth was pregnant with was John the Baptist. Pastor Jim, what an amazing greeting. This angel says, oh, by the way, you know, and tells Mary about Elizabeth, which mm-hmm. is so cool, isn't it?
Well, it is cool because apparently, even though they were cousins, we know news traveled slowly.
Slowly back then,
And Mary didn't know, apparently, until the angel told her.
And Elizabeth's in her 6th month, it says in verse 26 of
right.
Luke 1.
Yeah. Well, but remember, Elizabeth put herself in seclusion, too.
That's true.
Back in verses 24 and 25, she put herself in seclusion. So I think she just, you know, we talked about this. I think she just wanted to meditate on the word.
Oh, yeah.
Because this was a miracle, because she was barren. She wasn't just old.
Talk about a miracle child. She was barren.
And so was her husband.
Yes. And here, yes, a baby. And what a baby.
Yeah.
I mean, God kept it in the family. Don't you find that fascinating, too?
I love it that John, who was to be Jesus' forerunner,
right,
was his cousin. You know, I don't know how many times removed, but they were related.
They were cousins, yeah.
And, you know, just the things that John was going to do he was going to come in the power and spirit of Elijah. He was going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, the disobedient to the righteous.
Right.
And to make, I love this, to make a people prepared for the Lord.
Oh, that was John the Baptist's job.
That was John's purpose. He was the forerunner. He was to get them ready for Jesus.
Right.
And then, you know, they were cousins. Who knows? They probably played together. They were only 6 months apart.
Right.
You know, they may have played together.
John the Baptist and Jesus. Yeah, you don't know. But I love this. And the angel shows up in Mary's room and says to her, Mary, you have nothing to fear. I mean, she's shaken here in verse 29. And Mary, you have nothing to fear, for God has a surprise for you. Nan, we've been talking about the God of surprises for a while now, have we not? And we're anticipating some big surprises in this new year for Beacon of Hope.
Yes, they're coming.
They are coming.
Suddenly.
Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant, give birth to a son, and call his name Jesus. And that was ordained by God, his name, because names for the Israelites all were significant. What people were named meant something important. And Jesus means Yeshua. Jehovah is our salvation. It means 5 things, really. Salvation, deliverance, safety, helper, our prosperer. Jesus is all of that, and his name was given in advance, just like John the Baptist's name was given in advance to Zacharias, that it was going to be John instead of named after his father, which was the tradition.
And John means God is gracious.
God is gracious. And we know in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh, that's Jesus, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's who it was. And so the angel says he's going to be great. He will be called Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever, no end ever to his kingdom. And we have so many we've been talking about the last 3 or 4 weeks here in this Christmas series called Jesus Messiah. If you missed any of them, go back here on podcast at tantalknetwork.com and catch them. We've been talking about prophecies fulfilled and how God's plan was perfect and was set in motion before the foundation of the earth. And he was simply looking for a vessel to be able to hold that baby, grow that baby. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I was looking at verses 31, 32, and 33, and I got to think about that teaching I gave the first week of this series.
Sure, yes.
I mean, it's right here. You'd be called Son of the Most High.
Yes.
Okay. That goes back to Daniel. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. The prophecies in Jeremiah.
Amen. Yes.
And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. That goes all the way back to Jacob prophesying over Judah before mm-hmm. he died.
Yes.
And then also in Numbers. I mean, right. It's just right here. I mean,
prophecies are right here. And you know... It's so amazing. Luke understood that, and the disciples began to... I think a lot of these guys were so well-versed in the Word of God and the old prophecies that they began to see what was going on here, you know, who this was.
Right.
Mary says to the angel, "How shall this be?" And we talked about this last week. This is in the original Greek. She does not say, "How could you possibly do that?"
Or "How can this be?" As most translations say.
And that's not correct. It is "How shall."
How shall.
Why is that significant?
Well, "How can this be?" makes her sound like Zechariah, for one thing.
Like unbelieving.
Like she's not believing. Oh, how can this be? I don't
know. Right.
But rather, and when it says, "How shall this be?" that's an assent to, okay, I know it's going to happen. I'm just curious as to how it's going to happen. I'm not doubting, Lord, that you're going to make this happen. But tell me, I'm curious. Hey, it's me. Is this going to be happening inside of me? I want to know, how is this going to occur? Because I've not ever been with a man.
Right. And that was fascinating right there for her. I mean, realizing she was a virgin, but she was engaged, which meant... they had not come together at that point.
Right.
And so you mentioned this morning, it's so true, we're sure that she had to have had some scandal around her because she was 14 or 15, a young girl, and engaged but not married.
Right. And actually, one of the devotionals I'm using for Advent for this Christmas season brought that out a couple of times that, you know, it was really a shame. I mean, what can we say? She would have been looked at as a whore and an adulteress.
Right, exactly.
And they could have done to Mary what they wanted to do to the adulterous woman in John chapter 8.
Right.
You know, and Matthew talks about that because the law says you stone them, the man and the woman. Well, it can be kind of hard to find a man in this case since she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But they could have taken her and stoned her. And Joseph, that's why Joseph, he knew what the law said.
Right.
And that's why he wanted to send her away to not only to protect her, just her reputation and to keep her from being sniped at by the neighbors, but I believe to protect her very life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think so, too. Because the devil was always out to stop the coming of the Messiah. That's one thing we want to really mention today, that the devil was, he knew about the prophecies, Isaiah 7:14, for the Messiah was going to come through through a virgin, and that his name would be called Emmanuel. I mean, The devil knew these things.
The devil knows scripture pretty
That's
well.
That's right. And so he was trying his best to stop any of this from happening. And it's so amazing here that the Holy Spirit is discussed by the angel, and he says, the Holy Spirit, this is Gabriel talking, will come upon you, and the power of the highest will hover over you. And I know you, go ahead, tell them what that Greek word is.
You know,
I can't pronounce it.
You know, it's one of my favorite Greek words.
It is. It's a great Greek word.
Yeah, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. That word is episkiazo.
Right.
And it means to overshadow, and it's used in just a few other places in the New Testament. When in each of the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when they talk about the transfiguration, they all use that word when it talks about the cloud coming down and overshadowing Jesus and Moses and Elijah and the disciples. It overshadowed them. It was the glory cloud that came down.
Right.
And the only other place it's used is in the book of Acts. Talking about Peter's shadow.
Right, Peter's shadow and how they were getting healed in the shadow.
And that just shows me, the glory of God had rested on Peter.
And you know what? We can only experience a fragment of that now, but with the Holy Spirit living within us. But even like this morning in our service, even though we were doing Christmas carols, the power of Almighty God was so present. Nan, would you agree with that?
Most definitely.
Feeling God's presence?
Absolutely.
How does that affect you, Nan? How does that affect you?
Well, for one thing, I mean, it's really cool to have, you know, a Christmas service, which is what we had. And, I mean, how many Christmas services have I attended in my life? Well, one a year for, you know, I'm 55, 57, so a long time. But yet, in the midst of, it's like almost fresh anew.
It was,
and
wasn't it?
Fresh anew, and it's like, it's neat to see how the Spirit of the Lord moves all over. It's all fresh again, you know?
Yes,
You know, some people think, well, you know, you should go in and you should sing a few little, you know, Christmas, you know, church hymnal type of, you know, songs, and that's Christmas and you leave. But that's not what happened today. And that's not what happened today. And
power of God
really
fell.
Cool, you know?
Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you've kissed your little baby, face of God. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? is the great I am.
Woo! Amen. That's who he is, Jesus, the great I am. Praise God, I love that song. Nan got a poem during that song, didn't you?
I did, yes, Pastor. Mary was a special girl. She was chosen to carry Jesus. All of this occurred back then, so eternal life could come to us. God wants to use us in a way to let others know they can trust. They can trust and receive eternal life. We need to share. It's up to us.
Amen. It certainly is. Praise God. And you know what? The outflow of this amazing event is still happening over 2,000 years later. Mm-hmm. We realize the significance of God the Father sending his son Jesus to the earth to show us the nature of the Father, to show us his kindness and his goodness. He didn't have to have a solution for the sin of this world. You want to discuss that, Pastor Jim?
Well, yeah, I mean, he could have just left us in our sins, but he didn't. I mean, and the fall of Adam and Eve did not take God by surprise. He already had, he would have sent Jesus had they not sinned. Just
exactly.
To establish, I mean, even though he had fellowship before they fell with them.
Right.
This would have happened to have brought that intimate fellowship to a whole new level. But what happened was, Jesus is known as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Right.
The Father knew.
It's already the plan.
From, infinity past, what was going to have to happen. And
right.
So did Jesus. And, you know, in the same way that Mary submitted.
Yes.
To God's will. Jesus, if you read through the book of John, I've come to do my Father's work.
All the time, yes.
What I see him doing, I do. I do the Father's commands. He was submitted to the Father. And that, and
God.
Yeah, God gave us all those prophecies,
mm-hmm.
pointing the way so that, okay, when Jesus came, it was like, this is it.
Right.
This is it. This is the one who fulfilled all the prophecies.
All the prophecies.
And it could have been no other.
Amen. And I love Mary's response to the angel in verse 38 of Luke 1, if you're following along. When the angel says, by the way, your cousin Elizabeth's pregnant, even though she's old. Everyone called her barren. Here she is, 6 months pregnant. Nothing you see is impossible with God. And if you don't hear anything else today on this show, dear people, write this down. The angel says to Mary, nothing you see is impossible with God. Take it, Nan. Take it, PJ. I'm taking it right now. Nothing you see is impossible with God. Gabriel said that to Mary. This may seem like a stretch, Mary, that you're pregnant without having gotten married or whatever, but it's not. Nothing's impossible with God. PJ, you want to comment on that? I love that verse.
Yes, me too, especially since that first time you showed me what that verse
go ahead, explain
into.
That. Yeah, I like that. I love that.
In the literal Greek, it is not any word.
Not any word.
Will be impossible with God. And the Greek word for word there is rhema.
Rhema.
That personal word that God gives you, that personal promise that God gives you. The angel Gabriel told Mary, no word from God, no rhema word from God will be impossible. He's going to give you that, and he is faithful. He will see it fulfilled.
Exactly. And for those of you out there who don't understand what he just said, I'm going to break it down one other way. The whole Bible is the word of God. But there are times that passages, verses stand out to you, and you know that is for you right then in that moment, and you write it down somewhere. I have many little notebooks, my friends will tell you. I have tons of them. With all this rhema word, which is a word, a Greek word that means the word that is special for you. You know, is there another way to translate that, PJ, to make it rhema sound so they understand that better? Special.
Yeah, logos, is the Greek for general word, kind of like the Bible as a whole.
Yeah.
If God, you're reading along and all of a sudden a verse just pops out at you and you know, hey, this is for me.
Right.
That's rhema. That's when it becomes personal. The Bible is logos. It's general. It's the whole word.
Right.
Rhema is that personal peace mm-hmm. that comes to you.
Comes to you. And so that is what the angel said to her. No rhema word is impossible with God. Okay? So if God's given it to you, you know, we're going to talk about this more as we start a new series next week entitled Promised Land. And we're going into the book of Joshua. I can't wait, PJ. It's going to be fun. We PJ and I love to teach Old Testament stuff, and it's going to be a great series. And you know what? It's so important that when God tells you what to do, that you follow through and do it. Now, sometimes it takes a while. It does. I admit that. Sometimes it seems like we're in God's waiting room for a long time, which we're going to talk about that concept in a little while. But here you see Mary saying in response, "Be it done to me according to your word." And she says, "Behold, I'm the bondslave of the Lord." In other words, hey, I surrender all. And you know, Nan, that's what God was doing at the end of our service this morning. That was fascinating to me for a Christmas service. I don't believe I've ever seen that happen. Do you want to comment at all?
I don't think I've ever seen that happen either.
Where it was just very strong upon me that we needed to make commitments, fresh commitments.
Well, I think that's pretty cool, you know, making fresh commitments, you know. People at this time of year, as they hit January 1st, I want to go on a diet. I want to lose weight. I'm going to work out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And they start making resolutions. What we did this morning was not a resolution.
No, it was not. What was it?
It was a true commitment.
Right.
It's not just a happen chance of something we think that we want to do. It was a commitment to God for what we are going to do. And there's a difference. It's hard to describe it. It's a difference to make a commitment to God than, okay, I'm hit January 1st and I want to start losing weight. You know, that's something you just got to want to do. But
right.
A lot of times it's flip it, and within 3 months you've joined a gym and then you've quit the gym and you cancel the membership and all that stuff. But what we did this one was a true commitment, and I don't think I've ever seen something quite like that occur, you know, in a Christmas service.
I haven't
like
either. I was just flabbergasted. It wasn't planned, as always. PJ, you want to comment there?
Yeah, the word there, bond slave.
Yes.
It looks back to the under the law, and especially the one I recall is in Exodus. If you sold yourself, you know, you became somebody's slave, say you owed them a debt, you'd become their slave. But at the end of so many years, they had to let you go. That was the law, you know, especially in the Jubilee year.
That's right.
At least I think it's every 7 years. You'd served long enough, you got to go. But in Exodus it says, but if the person says, wait a minute, I love my master, I've got it really good here. What they would do would be put your earlobe to the door jamb,
yeah,
and take an awl and put it, pierce your ear with it.
Right.
Symbolizing that you just became part of that house. That's giving up all your rights.
Right.
I mean, you're stuck in that house forever.
Bond slave.
And that's what Mary's saying. You know what? My ear's pierced. I'm in the house of the Lord forever.
Behold, the bond slave of the Lord. That's what she said. Uh-huh. Love it.
Yeah. You know, she says, I'm here and I'm, you know, we're making that commitment like we did today. That's what it's talking about. We become, we say, you know what? I've got it too good with the Lord to even think about leaving here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she was saying.
We're going to talk more about Mary, Joseph, and this amazing event in a moment, Away in a Manger. I think this one is by Curtis Chapman.
Stephen Curtis Chapman,
I believe. But anyway, we're going to have more music today because this helps celebrate this amazing day. Enjoy this with us. Yes, it is Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down sweet head. The stars in the sky, the
Great song reminds us of the birth of Jesus.
Be near me, Lord Jesus, and love me, I pray.
Didn't realize it had that end on it right there. Wow, great song. But this is Pastor Marsha along with Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, and Nan today. And we're celebrating the birth of our Savior. Tomorrow's Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. We always enjoy doing this, but I think in particular, as we begin to really look at these characters involved, Mary, Elizabeth, Joseph, how their lives were changed. Nan, I mean, our lives can be changed by taking new jobs, by taking... getting married or things like that, or like in my case, having grandchild number 12, that definitely changes my life again for a good thing. But when life happens to us so often, it doesn't begin to impact us, though, the way these lives, Mary and Joseph, let's say, Elizabeth, were impacted. Totally amazing story. Love it.
Well, I'm going to share just put a plug in here. I'm going to be a grandma if things go as they should. In July. And, you know, I'm
we're happy for you.
I'm happy. I'm thinking.
Oh, you're happy
I'm
now?
Happy. I'm happy. Yeah, I'm happy now.
Oh, all right.
Or we bought an outfit. That's a work of God.
That's a work of God, yeah.
Or we bought a beautiful outfit that's red that'll work. And it,
for next
and
Christmas,
for next
huh?
Christmas, and it says, who needs Santa? I got Grandma.
There you go. There you go.
You know, this is going to change such dynamics.
Right. Yeah.
You know, in our family. We're right. excited about it.
Right.
You know, we're happy about it. And just as that is going to be changing our lives, so much greater, Jesus changes our lives. And he came as a babe. And the excitement they must have had after they got through the shock of what they had, you know, the excitement that Mary had knowing that, you know, that God had chosen her. I mean, God chose her.
I'm so glad you said all that. I'm going over to verse 46 of Luke 1. And as always, we just let the Holy Spirit lead these shows. And verse 46, it's Mary talking after she arrives. And she and Elizabeth, I think, are having a prayer and praise and worship service when they both realize they're both pregnant and they are pregnant with very important people here. They don't know yet the extent of it, but they've had to have an inkling, don't you think, Pastor Jim, of what's coming? Because they're both just on fire here in their in what they pray and what is recorded in Luke 1.
Right. Well, and Mary had an inkling from what the angel said
yes.
to her. Well, and so did Elizabeth. I mean, I don't know when she got that, since apparently Zechariah was struck deaf and dumb.
Right.
By the angel Gabriel until John was named.
Right.
But somehow she knew.
Yeah.
Even before. And
they
I
knew.
Think,
yeah.
I mean, maybe, you know, Zechariah just wrote it out for what had happened in the holy place, what the angel Gabriel told him. But I love it. Yeah, Mary comes, you know, she doesn't delay. The angel says, and the angel, oddly enough, does not tell her, go see Elizabeth.
No, but it says here in verse 39, Mary didn't waste a minute.
Right.
She got up and traveled to.
Nobody told her to go, but she knew
where
she
Elizabeth
had to
was.
Be there.
Yes.
And
that's God's leading.
Yeah, she entered the house and greeted Elizabeth, and you know, John does a backflip in his mother's womb.
Right.
You know, that's amazing. I mean,
yeah,
because it was prophesied he'd be filled with the Spirit
right.
while in his mother's womb. And there you go.
And it happened when Mary greeted
right.
Elizabeth.
He recognized the presence of Jesus in her.
He recognized Jesus. Yes,
and,
the baby.
I love what Elizabeth says. Well, I mean. She says, you know, how has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord,
right?
She knew what was going on, would come to me. And then she says, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord.
That's huge. That's the end of verse 45 of Luke 1, if you're following along. Elizabeth's words. She knew this was a fulfillment.
Elizabeth told Mary that. And then, of course, Mary launches into this great song.
Yes.
I mean, they had worship service. But I love this because it's like, I always used to puzzle, you know, all nations will, or from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Well, this is why they
this
can do
why
that.
This is why they can do that, yeah.
We can call her the Blessed Virgin Mary because
right.
she believed that God would fulfill what he promised her.
Absolutely.
And we're blessed along with Mary when we believe what God has promised us. We can make her song our song.
And Mary says in verse 46, I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. I'm in the Message Bible. God took one good look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others, his mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. I mentioned that verse this morning because it has really stuck out to me lately. She's talking about the very nature of Almighty God. And she says it's his mercy. His mercy. That in the tabernacle of Moses and the furniture that God told Moses to build, the Ark of the Covenant on top of the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark of the Covenant holds a jar of manna, or did, not now, but jar of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the Ten Commandments, right?
Right.
And so basically on top of the law, now I know this is a little deep, but everybody follow me here. The Ten Commandments represent the law that God gave, right? Aaron's rod represents a miracle blossoming new thing.
Authority.
Authority. And the jar of manna represents God's provision.
Right.
Okay, so here we have all of that, but on top of all of that, the mercy seat, that's what it's called, the mercy seat, and it's gold, and it's on top of this wooden Ark of the Covenant. Oh, that'll preach, Pastor Jim.
Yes, it will, because that's very symbolic of Jesus, you know, his divinity, his humanity. And the Ark of the Covenant was the throne of God.
It was the throne of God.
It was the throne of God. And the mercy seat, that's where the high priest had to go on the Day of Atonement. The only time the high priest could even be that close and sprinkle it with blood to make atonement for Israel. And of course, Jesus is called our mercy seat, both in the book of Hebrews, in Romans and in the book of First John. He is the mercy seat. And everything that we need is in him.
Amen.
Oh. And that's, you know, and I love what Mary says here. You know, to quote King James, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." You remember that old song?
Yes.
"My soul doth magnify the Lord."
Yes.
And, you know, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior."
Woo!
"He that is mighty has done great things, and holy is his name."
Oh, amen.
You know, she was singing out the praises of God. And then down in verse 54, she says, "He's given help to Israel,
yes,
his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." She just ties it all together again, saying, okay, look what God has done, and this is fulfilling every promise he ever made to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob.
Woo, yes. Kirk Franklin, "The Night That Christ Was Born."
"Listen to the angels rejoicing air so sweetly, receiving heaven's glory, the night that Christ was born."
Listen to the angels rejoicing ever so sweetly, receiving heaven's glory, the night that Christ was born. Can't you see the people
coming from every nation,
coming from every nation,
pleading for their salvation,
pleading for salvation,
the night that Christ,
the night that Christ was born."
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The night that Christ,
the night that Christ was born.
Listen.
Listen to the angels rejoicing so sweetly, receiving heaven's glory, the night that Christ was born. Can't you see the people coming from every nation, pleading for salvation, the night that Christ
song by Kirk Franklin. Wow. We're going into Luke chapter 2 here in just a few minutes. The actual birth and what happened with the shepherds. It's amazing. I love it. And we got some amazing songs from Handel's Messiah. It's going to really bless you. Really bless you. So stay tuned. Call a friend and say, you better be checking out this Christmas show right now on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And as we we see that Mary did submit to the Lordship. She was of God and the plan of God. So did Joseph. And we've covered that in the last couple of weeks, that Joseph kept having these dreams and he was told by the angels, hey, yeah, here's what you got to do. You got to take Mary. You got to protect her. Go to Egypt and all that. Every time there was a fulfillment of scripture. So how important is that, Nan? And then I'll go to PJ about this. That so often we see promises in the Bible and we don't apply them to us. And then suddenly, like we were talking a minute ago, something hits us and we realize that's for me. And then so often we forget about it. If we don't write it down and make note of it and go back and remind ourselves. Mary, before I go to you, Nan, let's go back to PJ, because you brought this up this morning about how Mary treasured and pondered things in her heart. That's a great point right here, and then we'll go to Nan with that.
Okay, well, it was after the shepherds had come to see the baby Jesus.
Yeah.
And they told Mary and Joseph what they had seen, which was, of course, the one angel, then a whole sky full of angels singing a song.
Right.
And it says in, verse 19 of Luke chapter 2, but Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And one day I just thought, well, you know, I'm going to look up these words and see what they really mean. The word treasured in the Greek means to keep something in mind, lest it be forgotten.
That's so good.
So she kept... She remembers.
Yes.
She kept bringing this up. And the word for things is that ever popular word, rhema.
Yes.
She pondered all these rhema words, not only that she got from the angel Gabriel,
yes,
and then from Elizabeth, now from the shepherd. She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And that means it's a simbalo, to confer within oneself.
Oh, yeah.
She meditated on it, basically. She maybe muttered these things to herself, but she wanted to never forget. And, you know, if I'd been Mary, I'm pretty sure I would have wanted to have done the same thing. I would never have wanted to have forgotten what happened in this 9-month period.
Right.
And like I said this morning, I'm pretty sure... And it says later on also in here about her pondering these things.
Yes.
Simeon, Anna.
Yes.
Jesus in the temple.
Right.
At age 13. She kept all these things in the forefront of her mind.
Right.
And that's why I think, even though I think she had some doubts at sometimes, I mean, that shows up in the Gospels. And yet, at the wedding at Cana, she said, just do whatever he tells you.
Yeah, she knew. She knew
he
was the Messiah.
I know who he is.
She knew.
Just do what he tells you
right.
to do.
Right, she knew.
And, of course, she was there at the cross.
Right.
And I think meditating on all this prepared her for that.
Yes.
I mean, I can't imagine a mother seeing her son die anyway. But
right, but that.
Here.
Yeah.
And I think she really had to hold on to those promises.
Amen.
Especially the one about where the angel said, sorry, I know I'm preaching, but the angel said, and his kingdom will have no end. He'll sit on the throne of David and his kingdom will have no end. Well, here he is dying on a cross.
Right.
She had to hold on to that word because she knew, she had to know this, somehow this was not the end.
Oh, praise God. And we have to hang on. Nan, talk if you want to.
Well, piggybacking off of what he had said, we need to ponder in our hearts, you know, what has been promised to us in the Word of God.
Yes.
And you said when we have a rhema word that comes out and comes forth, we need to ponder that and keep that in heart, which is where I too journal, which is where journaling is so important. We've
so
talked
important.
About it on the show before. You know, journaling is so important. And you know, Mary kind of journaled in her mind, you know, keeping those things ever before her so as not to forget. And like Pastor Jim said, to help her to
right.
ultimately deal with what she was going to have to ultimately
oh,
deal
yeah.
with, you know. But, I mean, we need to ponder.
Yes.
And if God's made us individual promises, we need to ponder those. We need to think upon those. And trust. I mean, we need
exactly.
it's a trust factor.
It
and
is.
We need to trust.
And that's why it's so important every year at this time to go over all this again, because it becomes new in a way to us, doesn't
right.
it? It's not old news. No. I mean, it's something, yes, we've heard a lot of us from childhood growing up in church, but it still has fresh new meaning like it did today and like it's doing right now in this show for, we hope, several people, that you'll catch this vision of the excitement of the birth of Jesus, the miracle of it. Go ahead, PJ.
Well, I was looking here and I have verse Luke 2:11 marked. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Messiah the Lord. Today. And I jump back to Psalm 95. Today, if you hear his voice,
yes.
do not harden your hearts.
Right.
Today is always today.
Right.
He's born now.
Right.
He is the Savior who is the Messiah, our Lord.
Mm.
And that's a constant.
Yes.
We just have to accept it.
Amen.
You know, the shepherds could have said,
yeah,
right. You know, it'd been 400 years
right.
since any prophet had spoken. And then, boom. And who does he show up with? The lowest of the low, the shepherds.
That's right. We're going to talk about that in the second hour. We're glad you've joined us right now in Living the Good Life. And I can't believe an hour's passed already. From Beacon of Hope Ministries, we want to remind you about our prayer line, because as so many are finding, that there is a team of people here at Beacon Hope that's been going for the last 8 or 9 years. I don't even know, PJ, what year it was.
About
maybe
nine.
10.
About
I don't
nine.
Know. And it's email, and talk about that briefly, if you will, PJ.
I will, and I have to mention one of our former Beaconites, Cindy Logan, who's also been on the radio.
She's still
program.
A Beaconite.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. We have Beaconites all over the country. But she put this really nice thing on Facebook.
Yes.
Where she said, look, if you want your prayers answered, you know, send a request to prayers at bohmglobal.com.
She did say that.
I got so tickled.
I know. Wasn't that beautiful?
Because that's true. We're a body who believes in that God answers prayer, no matter how small, no matter how large. We believe that
we
God
do.
Answers prayers.
Yes.
All we ask is that, you know, you send us your prayer requests, we'll send them out.
Right.
Either myself or Betty or Shell, one of us will send out the prayer request along with a prayer for everybody to pray. And we'll stand with you in whatever the issue is. And the only thing that I ask is that when God answers your prayer, notice I said when, let us know, because I have a subfolder in my Outlook, you know, mailbox that I keep all the praise reports in.
Praise God.
And I think it's important. Again,
oh, I do too.
Because that's something we can ponder.
Right.
We
just
can,
like Mary.
We can treasure it and ponder it, because
amen.
We can say, look, God moved here.
Yes.
God moved here.
Woo.
He's still moving.
Amen. He is. He's still answering prayer, people. Do not give up out there in radio land, whatever you're going through. A lot of times the holidays produce depression for some people, discouragement, defeat. The devil wants you to have your eyes on all the things that aren't coming out, turning out good for you right now. God wants you to change your outlook. You mentioned that word. I'm going to use it. Outlook. God wants you to look at life differently at this Christmas season. And this is the God of suddenly moments. This is the God of surprises. This is the God that changed your circumstances. Sometimes right, very quickly, right in front of your eyes. Nan, you want to comment on that before we get to the top of the hour?
I love it when he shows up and does that. He just kind of shows off. You know?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, it is. Because he never forgets anything.
No.
We do. But if he made you a rhema promise, and he made you a promise, go back over that and remind God. In fact, there's a scripture in Isaiah that says, argue your case before him. Remind him, okay? Not that he's forgotten. He just wants to see if you remember, right? You want to comment on that, Nan, for a couple seconds?
I think we need to put that into practice, and I think we would find things are move in a quicker manner, maybe,
right.
because he is seeing that you trust him and remember what he has spoken to
Amen.
You.
Amen. So remind him. you know, and say, God, you promised me this. Station ID, don't go
anywhere. WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.